week, learning this week about keeping two Yom Tovim of Yom Kippur. We know in general that Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Galios, we keep 2 days of Yantif in Chutz La'aretz, because we don't know exactly when the day was. The Shluchim weren't able to get to certain areas, so since they weren't sure when was Rosh Chodesh, so then they had to keep 2 days. Maybe it was this day, maybe it was that day. So that's why we have 2 days of Yom Tov. Even though Bizman Hazeh, we know the proper day. We know Kfir Diarcha, we know the proper calendar. But we have what the Gemara in the Beitza says, Minag Avosena Biadenu. We keep the practice of our fathers, grandfathers, and great grandfathers that we've been keeping 2 days in Chutz La'aretz, and that's how it was accepted. So now there are two areas. So we have two types of Yom Tovim, or two mitzvahs, I should say, that depend on days that we don't keep 2 days. One is Yom Kippur, as we'll see. We don't have 2 days Yom Kippur, and we'll go through that sugya. And the other one is Sfiras Omer. Why don't we count 2 days of Sfiras Omer? It's a count between Pesach and Shavuos. So we have 2 days of Pesach, so maybe there should be two counts of Sfiras Omer as well. So those are two areas we'll discuss. So the Gemara tells us here in the Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Aleph that Rava haya ragil d'havi yasa b'tanisa trei yomei. Rava was a very special tzaddik. And he was able to fast 2 days straight for Yom Kippur. He was concerned with the position of Sveika de Yoma, and therefore he kept 2 days of Yom Kippur, which is something hard for us to imagine a person could fast 2 days in a row, but that's what he was able to do. And so the first thing we'll talk about is just Rav in general. You saw the Gemara in Tainus, where Rav was able to, he was Zocha, to have this baskal come from Shemayim that would give him a greeting every single Erev Yom Kippur. Now, the Gemara tells us that Rav had a little chalish das because there's a certain doctor in the neighborhood who was able, who was zocha to see, to have every single, the Gemara says that this Abba Umna, he was a doctor, he would receive every single day shalom, good morning, greetings from Shemayim, every single day he was zocha to this. Abaye saw it every single, or felt it, or heard it every Erev Shabbos, and Rav only every Erev Yom Kippur. So Rav was able to understand, okay, Abaye was a great tzaddik, so okay, Rav heard it once a year, Abaye heard it every single week. But the doctor, we love doctors, but this doctor, every single day, he had a greeting from Shemayim. What did he do that was so great? And so Gemara tells us that the whole way that what a tzaddik his doctor was, that he would have the men have a separate entrances from the women, and he would be covered up, and he wouldn't be able to see. He was very tzanu about, and in terms of payment, he wouldn't make people pay if they couldn't afford it, and he wouldn't make the rabbis pay either. And a whole, and the Gemara goes on to say more ma'isim about him, which I don't have the Gemara Tainus entirely here. But this doctor was a very special doctor. Fine. But as for Rava, he was only Zocha to hear this baskol every Erev Yom Kippur. So the Mefarshim asked the question, if Rava received this baskol every Erev Yom Kippur, so he knew when Yom Kippur was then. If he heard the baskol, this Shalom Mishamayim, he knew the next, that evening was Yom Kippur, so why did he have to keep 2 days? What was the Shaila there? So there are a few different answers that they suggest. So the Chida, the Pesach and Ayim, the Chida, so he says, one answer is that maybe the reason why he got the baskol didn't have to do with the Zman. It wasn't about being Erev Yom Kippur. What happens, we all, the whole year goes by, we didn't do what we wanted to do. We expected ourselves to be a high level Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We expected to be really great people. And as the weeks go by, the months go by, we're not what we wanted to be. Comes our Seder Meitshuva. So we start taking upon ourselves all these different Kabbalahs, and we're makbid on this, and we're makbid on that. So Rava was also no different. He was very makbid on many things, and he reached a very high level. By Erev Yom Kippur came, he got this level. He was zocha to this greetings, this Shalom Aleichem from Shemayim. But not because it was the Zman, he was telling us, now it's Erev Yom Kippur. Happens to me, that's when he got to this high level. Had he gotten to the high level here, and today's Chav Tes Shvat, so he could have been Zocha today. If he really worked hard, he could have happened to be. When did he work hardest most on this? It was Erev Yom Kippur. But not because Erev Yom Kippur was like the Zman on the calendar that the greetings would come from Shemayim. So it just happened to be that way, but it wasn't any form of an indicator from Shemayim that it was that was Yom Kippur. That's one shot by the Chida. He writes that, just read it inside, he says, Minag Rav Haya, the Erev Yom Kippur, Hayanog Beprecious Vekadusha Tveh. He was just like anyone else. On Erev Yom Kippur, we're probably most careful the rest of the year. So he had this extra level of precious, the extra level of Kedusha. And that's why he got this greetings from Shemayim. But he couldn't know whether that was true. I was telling us that's the Zman. That's just how he earned it. But it wasn't totally on the Zman at all. And that's why he still had to keep two different days. The Sfas Emes makes a few other suggestions. I'm going to make my own suggestion in just a second, but the Sfas Emes says, no, maybe he would also receive it other days of the year. Every Erev Yom Kippur, it would come with Kriyas, but he also get it a random day in Teves, a random day in Adar, if he like really worked on it. Certain days, a person has a certain Hissa'orus, and he's very excited, and he's acting with great Tzidkus, so he was Zochet to it. So it could be that he was Zochet to it, similar to the Chida, because he earned it. But it wasn't that it was Dafka, the day of Erev Yom Kippur. But a few days a year, he would actually have this greeting, but it wasn't necessarily an indicator that that was Erev Yom Kippur. Then Sfas Emes suggests yet a second answer. He says, maybe, when was Rava Zochet to it? Maybe it was only after the first year that he fasted 2 days of Yom Kippur. Since that's not a normal thing for people to do. But once he did that, as a reward, every single year afterwards, he got the greetings from Shemayim, and then this is Erev Yom Kippur, no need to do this again. Meaning he earned it. The Gemara is talking about two different times. The Gemara in Taina says he fasted, rather the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says he fasted 2 days. That was the first time he fasted 2 days. And that's why he was Zochet to the greeting from Shemayim every Erev Yom Kippur thereafter. When he got the Shalom from Shemayim, Einach Hanami, he would actually fast 1 day, because now he knew for sure when the right day was. That's what the Sfas Emes says in the second answer. And the third answer, just the technical answer, is there's a difference. Maybe some have a gear, so they're like Rabbeinu Chananel. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is really Rabba, not Rava. Okay, two different people. But let me make my own suggestion, if I may, as to why maybe, although Rava heard this Baskel from Shemayim, he still fasted 2 days of Yom Kippur. Unless you guys have any suggestions why. That another answer that we didn't see yet. That's what I was going to say, exactly. Right, the Pasuk tells us, Lo B'Shemayim, that the Torah is not on Shemayim. That Pasuk is invoked in the Gemara Bava Metzia, that when Machlokas Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer, they had Machlokas about a certain Hilchos Tumah, and Rabbi Elazar says he was for sure right, and he says, if I'm correct, let the walls bend, and let the water stop, and the trees be uprooted, and all these different things, and after each nace happened, Rabbi Yeshua says, Lo B'Shemayim, it's not up to Shemayim. Torah was given to us, to man, and we decide what the Halacha is, even though it might be wrong. Lo B'Shemayim. So there's a few different Gemaras that seem to indicate that we do actually rely on that which is in Shemayim. The Gemara in Yuma tells us that when there's a dispute in the Midbar, so how would they reconcile, how would they figure out who's right? So they wake up in the morning, the man would show up on the person's front door, on his front door of his ohel, and that would tell us that he was correct, he wins the dispute. So they ask the question, how can Moshe Rabbeinu rely on where the man fell the next morning? Isn't that Lo B'Shemayim? Right. What it means, Lo B'Shemayim, is that man has to decide. The rabbis, the dayan have to make the decision, but not based on a certain simanim from Shemayim. So you ask, how could the Gemara say that based on where the man fell in the morning, that would tell us that that person was right? So they say that Moshe Rabbeinu was a different Bria. Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshe Rabbeinu. He received the Torah from Shemayim. He was able to use such simanim. That was Dafka Moshe Rabbeinu, but others can't. So they say, okay, we have a number of times of where we rely on Eliyahu HaNavi. So the Gemara says, for example, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, are you allowed to write tefillin on the or of dagim, on the skin of fish? You have to have, the din is, muter b'ficha. All the different parts of the tefillin have to come from that which is muter to be eaten, that which is kosher. So the whole, the batim comes from the skin of the head of a cow, and the straps are all skin from the animal, and the sinews are from a cow, and the hairs, everything's from a kosher animal. So Gemara wants to know, can you use the skin of a fish? Let's say, well, that's also kosher. You have a kosher animal, you have a tuna fish. If you use the skin of a tuna, would that be allowed? And the Gemara goes back and forth. Well, it says, depends if there's a zuma. Depends how disgusting. Fish could smell very bad, we know. So it might be inappropriate to be used for tefillin. So Gemara doesn't know. So Gemara says, ask Eliyahu Navi, he'll answer the question. Or he said, if Eliyahu Navi came and told us that's not zuma, we'd rely on him. So the Mefarshim asked, but Eliyahu Navi is a Navi. He's Lo B'Shemayim. He's from Shemayim. We don't trust what he would say. How come we could rely on Eliyahu Navi? So the Maariv Tzachias answers, when we say Lo B'Shemayim, there's a difference when we're trying to figure out what the halacha is versus why we're trying to figure out what the metzias is. To find out metzias, that's not pasking a shayla. We just don't know whether fish is called the zuma or not zuma. Is it disgusting or not disgusting? To find out facts, that we could rely on Eliyahu Navi. He's just telling us, he's megalomosa to us, what the reality is. If we're trying to figure out how to paskin, who's right, that's, we say, Lo B'Shemayim. So it comes to figuring out a metzias, whether the fish is skin is considered a zuma or disgusting or not, we can rely on Eliyahu Navi. So that's acceptable. But then the Gemara says, what do you mean? All the time you have a teiku. What does teiku mean? Right. So one answer is teiku means takai, which is the other answer that leave it as is. It's a suffix. Others say tishbi, yataritz, kushis v'yibals. Eliyahu Novi's going to come. He's going to answer all the questions that we have, all the sveikas we have. So they ask the question again, how can we rely on Eliyahu Novi? It's Lobo Shemayim. He's a Novi. So the Chassam Sofer has like a groundbreaking tshuva. He discusses that based on different Gemaras, Eliyahu Novi sometimes comes in the form as a person. We've seen stories, heard of stories. The Gemaras talk about stories, Eliyahu Novi meeting people. And sometimes he comes in the form of a malach or neshama, a spiritual being. So have you ever seen Eliyahu Navi come to a bris milah? We've never seen him, but we're told he comes. Does that mean he doesn't come anymore? And one of the reasons why you can't invite anyone to a bris milah is because if you say no, you're like saying, I don't want to be in the presence of Eliyahu Navi. How do you not come where Eliyahu Navi's going to come? But I've never seen Eliyahu Navi come to a bris milah. So if he doesn't come to a bris milah, what's wrong with inviting people to a bris? And the answer is he comes in a spiritual form, a form that we can't actually see. So it says that Chassam Sofer, sometimes he comes in the form of a person, and sometimes he comes in the form of a malach or a neshama where we can't see him. So he says it depends on what form he's coming. If Eliyahu Navi comes in the form of a person, then we actually can rely on him. He's not b'shamayim, he's acting as a person, as one of us. But when he comes in the form of a malach, then we can't rely on these coming from an aspect of Shemaim. That's the difference. So that's the general discussion, the raid on the concept of Lobo Shemaim. So here too as well, I agree with Aaron. So maybe even though Rava was zochet to having this Shalom Mirakia, that this greeting from Shemaim every single Yom Kippur, still nonetheless, he doesn't have to. He shouldn't rely on it because Lobo Shemaim. Right? We saw the Gemara tells us, the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah tells us that Machlokes of Yeshua, that's the Mishnah, that's the next Mishnah I think it is, right? It's a mission later on in the second parak where the whole famous ma'aseh of Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua had to show up on Yom Kippur according to Yeshua's account, his cheshbon. Rabbi Yeshua had the correct cheshbon. Rabbi Gamliel said, "I don't care. I decided that Yom Kippur is going to be on a different day." And he commanded Rabbi Yeshua to come on the Yom Kippur that was his, Rabbi Yeshua's Yom Kippur, because we felt it was still the 9th of Yom Kippur, 9th of Tishrei. And he had to go. Imagine he had to walk on the carry and schlep and then walk on a day that he felt was actually Yom Kippur, and he was right. And the Mishnah says it doesn't make a difference. You make the call. It's up to the Beis Din to decide exactly when Yom Kippur is going to be. So here as well, even though in Shemayim they said that we have the right, they had a greeting from Shemayim every single Yom Kippur, says Rava, I'm finding the Gemara here, says Rava that in the end of the day it's not in Shemayim when exactly Yom Kippur is going to be. So where is this? So the Gemara says, this is, I'm just reading ahead, just the Ma'aseh of Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, that the Mishnah Daf Chaf Hei Amud Aleph. Right, this is the Maisa that Shalach Lo Rabbi Gamliel Gozreini Alecha. I'm being gozer on you, Rabbi Yeshua. Shetavo Etzli B'Makelcha Ma'osecha B'Yom Kippur Shechal Yos B'Cheshboncha. That you should come to me with your stick, your cane, and your money on the Yom Kippur that according to your cheshbon. Halach Ubatz Rabbi Kiva, he found Rabbi Kiva, he was so distraught, he was Meitzar, and he says, Yeshu Lomot Shekom Asher Asher Gamliel Asher. He says, don't worry. Whatever Rabbi Gamliel Nasi makes, it's final. His Yom Kippur is the right Yom Kippur, because it says, Eile Moadei Hashem Mikrei Kodesh Asher Tugu Osam Bein Bezmanam Bein Shlo Bezmanam. Whenever Bezin declares Yom Kippur, whether it's the right man or whether it's the wrong man, that becomes the Yom Kippur. So too Rava says, even though I had this greeting from Shemaim when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the Beis Din Shel Shemayim thought it was Yom Kippur, it doesn't mean it's Yom Kippur for us, because we are Taloi on Bnei Adam. So that's perhaps another reason, like Aaron suggested, as to why Rava could, this is not a steer with Rava keeping 2 days of Yom Kippur. So now let's talk about, yeah, sure.
Why would you even need that pasuk if we know Torah Lo Bashmayim? Why would you need a special pasuk to teach you that they established the
time? Yeah, it's a great question. So, it's that case, you know, we brought an application of this baskel that came every single Yom Kippur. But a typical person doesn't have that baskel. So now what happens is, so let's say there's a whole machlokas between two dayanim. So Rabbi Shu says one way, Rabbi Gamliel says another way. It's not a question of bashamayim here. It's a question about who's right, who's wrong. So Rabbi Shu knew he was right, and he had the right cheshbon. But Rabbi Gamliel still has the right to go against what the cheshbon is. Because, not about lo bashamayim here, just about... And when it comes to making the Rosh Chodesh, you're able to, they could willingly change the date to the wrong day. That's the concept. I remember when I learned in Hakotav the first year, so I was learning Ksubas at night, and they're talking about the Gemara in the beginning, Ksubas talking about how Yom Kippur, they could change the day of Yom Kippur. I don't remember exactly the Gemara, but they could change what day Yom Kippur was. And I had such a shot, I like a bomb kasha, you know, a guy coming out of Frisch, like, how do you change the day of Yom Kippur? They made me memorize, you know, every single date of the, I knew exactly the date of Sukkot, I knew the date of Yom Kippur, I knew every date of every Yom Tovim. So it's the 10th of Tishrei, is the Yom Kippur. How does the Gemara suggest you change the date? So the way it worked then, if you had like a good kasha, you get to ask Rav Nevensal this question. So I thought that was a bomb kasha I had, like 2 weeks into yeshiva. So I asked Rav Nevensal, and Rav Nevensal said, no, the Bezin's able to change the date of Rosh Hashanah. They have the right to. Even though Rosh Hashanah might be on a Thursday, based on other calculations, they could say, let's make it on a Friday this year and push it off a day. To me, which is an incredible thing. So what we learn from that is that Bezin's allowed to change the date, even though they know it's the wrong date. That's what comes out of this. So that's why Rava, even though he knew in Shemayim was one way, he had a special, you know, he had a special connection to Shemayim, he knew that wouldn't decide necessarily what Yom Kippur is down here in Olam Hazeh, in this world. Fine. Now, Lamaisa, so why don't we keep 2 days of Yom Kippur, Bizman Hazeh? Why not? So the answer is, of course, obvious, because it's dangerous. But the Ramad actually does bring their Yesh Machmirim, Lasos Shnei Yamim Yom HaKippurim. There are certain people who are very machmir and have a lot of self-control, I guess. Sometimes after, you know, after fast, you're like, oh, I could do this. Like during the morning, you wake up, like you're all parched, and you're like, it's impossible. And by the end, you're like, oh, this is easy. I can do this again. And, you know, in the end, we certainly can't do it another day in a row. But there are those who are very capable of having 2 days in a row of fasting. They were such machmirim. And he says, however, we don't have such a practice of this chumrah. And the reason is that it's very simply, based on the Or Zeruah, it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous for a person to fast 2 days. Fine. Now, the Chassam Sofer says, furthermore, now in terms of outside the danger element, we said before, why do we keep 2 days of Yom Tov nowadays? What's the reason? We all know exactly the calendar. The calendar, just backtrack for a second, we saw this right in the Gemara, but we never discussed this. Sometimes a calendar can be done based on Alpi Ariya and Alpi Cheshbon. Alpi Ariya is based on the Adam seeing the new moon. And then Alpi Cheshbon is based on calculations. Whenever there's Alpi Ariya based on Adam, that's when it could result in a suffix, because it depends when the Shluchim get out and get the word out. So we don't do Alpi Ariya anymore. We do our calendars based on Alpi Cheshbon, and everything's calculated exactly. We know exactly when the Yom Tov is going to be for the next 60, 70, 100, a few hundred years. We can calculate when it's going to be. There's no suffix anymore. We know exactly when Tesvav Nisan is, Tesvav Kislev, Tishrei rather. We know all these Yom Tovim. So we do it only, why? Because of a Minag. A Minag Avosenu Biadenu is the reason why we keep all these 2 days of Yom Tov. That being said, the Chassam Sofer says, if the whole reason why we keep 2 days in general is because of a Minag, well, we don't have a Minag. There is no such Minag to keep 2 days of Yom Kippur, and therefore that Svar would not apply to Yom Kippur. So either because there's no Minag of Yom Kippur, or 2 days of Yom Kippur, or because it's dangerous, it's a sakana to fast for 2 days in a row. So that's the reason why we don't keep 2 days Yom Kippur. Let's talk now about Sfiras Omer. Sfiras Omer, as we mentioned in the beginning, that it would make sense that a person should count 2 days of Sfiras Omer. The first day one, you should count. Day two, you should say, Hayom Yom Sheni. And you should also, you should say, maybe it's Yom Rishon, because you don't know which is the right day, or we're keeping this level of Sfeikos along the way. Keep 2 running counts of Sfiras Omer each day. Maybe it's day 2, maybe it's day 3. Today's maybe it's day 4, maybe it's day 5. Why don't we keep 2 days of Sfiras Omer? So the Baal Mor, he gives 2 different reasons. One reason, he says...
2 days of Sfiras Omer. Sfiras Omer is like 50 days.
Yeah. Every single time when you count, you should count 2 counts. Because maybe it's day 1, maybe it's day 2. And the next day. Maybe today's day 2, maybe today's day 3. Because...
Oh.
When you should start, because since first day of Pesach, maybe it's not really first day of Pesach, maybe it's really Erev Pesach. Maybe tomorrow's the first day of Pesach. So therefore, you should have these 2 counts going because it's a suffix about which is the first day of Pesach. Yeah.
So if it's a suffix, we say like suffix, brachos l'pakel or something like that? Like the first night, you can't make a bracha? Or
excellent. So let's say, so in terms of the brachos, so since we normally assume suffix brachos l'hakel, with the exception of a bracha deraisa, such as benching and birchas hadorah, so this wouldn't impact the bracha, but you count the bracha, you can still say the bracha, but you can still have 2 different counts. Meaning the bracha is going to be vade right on one of the days that you're counting. So you could...
For the second, but if we start counting which night of Pesach?
The second night, yeah.
Should we start counting
No, it would be the second night or the third night. But you can still say a bracha because one of the counts is definitely right, though. So the question is, should you count two different counts every single night? Tonight's night one, or maybe tonight's night two? So,
The first night might be an issue.
Right, the first night you just count tonight's maybe night one, or maybe it's not severe. Exactly. I'm not sure how you'd say it exactly. Right, without the bracha, even also maybe right. That's a good point. The first night, since you don't have a suffix, then the bracha would be a challenge. Now the problem then with that would be,
You
still count it. You just don't say a bracha the first night. So I could count every night without a bracha, and then decide the 20th night to start counting with a bracha. As long as I got every count, I could still say the bracha. So I can miss the bracha the first night, but count it. The next night, start counting with a bracha to have both the first night and maybe it's the second night. That's how it would play out. But why don't we do this? So the Baal Mor, he himself has two suggestions. One suggestion is that, in general, we perhaps discussed this in the past. I like discussing this topic. It's a nice topic. Whether or not Sfiras Omer Bizman Azeh is a mitzvah deraisa or a mitzvah midirbanan. It certainly is a mitzvah deraisa in the Torah. The question is Bizman Azeh, whether it still remains a mitzvah deraisa or only mitzvah midirbanan. What would that be? Talion, so the simple understanding is that the psukim seem to connect Sfira to the karbanos. It's called Sfiras Omer because there's a carbon Omer that we bring. We bring a carbon Omer the first day Chol Hamoed Pesach. We bring a carbon Omer. That carbon Omer, the function is to allow all the Isser Chadash. Chadash is the new grains, is Aser. And to brought the carbon Omer, that turns the Isser Chadash of barley, it makes it now Yashan, you could eat it. It's old Yashan can be eaten, Chadash is Aser. We bring Shavuos time, we bring the carbon Shteya Lechem, which now permits even the wheat. The Chita goes from Chadash, Isser Chadash, to Yashan. So since we're counting from carbon to carbon, it's called Sfiras Omer. From the carbon Omer, it's connected to carbonos. Nowadays, as we know, there are no karbanos anymore. So many Rishon hold that the mitzvah sphere is only a mitzvah deraisa. Mitzvah derabanan. The others, the Ran, says no. The sphere Omer has nothing to do with karbanos. It actually connects to Yom Tovim. It's a bridge between Pesach and Shavuos. And we, of course, have that Bizman Hazeh still. So therefore, the Ran felt that the mitzvah Bizman Hazeh is a mitzvah deraisa. So there's more to talk about. The Rama has a unique sheet where the Rambam actually puts the halacha of Sfiras Omer in the halachas of Tmidim and Musafim, which is about Karbanos. So you would think, the Rambam would think that Sfira is only the mitzvah derbanan. Yeah, the Rambam holds that Sfira is a mitzvah deraisa, even though it connects. And without getting into further details, the reason is because the Brisker Rav understands from the Rambam that Bizman Hazeh, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash, we still have a Chiv to bring Karbanos. How the Chiv works without the Beis HaMikdash, but that's a whole other discussion. But either way, there's a machlokas whether Sfira is a mitzvah deraisa or a mitzvah midirbanan bizman hazeh. So the Baal Mor, he raised another question before I get back to the point. He raised two questions. Number one is, he wanted to know, why don't we count two counts of Sfira Somer? And secondly, he asked, why don't we say Shechayanu? Why don't we say Shechayanu when we count Sfira? We say Shechayanu when we shake the lulav. We say Shechayanu when we sit in the sukkah. We say Shechayanu when we blong shofar. Because that's every single mitzvah that's new. We say Shechayanu. Why is there no Shechayanu when it comes to the mitzvah Sfiras Omer? Anybody know what he answers? It wasn't in front of you.
It's included in Pesach.
So that's what the Me'iri says. That not the Baal Mor. The Me'iri actually says that. It's included in the Shechayanu. Excellent. The Shechayanu of Pesach. Very good. That's what he says. But that's not what the Baal Mor says. What were you saying?
Machos HaShabbos. It's really Pesach.
Oh, so you're connecting. It's still bridging the two. So that's the Me'iri. The Baal Mor says no. Since Bizman Hazeh, Sfira is only mitzvah midirbanan. So mitzvah is midirbanan. Not only is it midirbanan, he says, but it's actually a zecher of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. When we count Sfira, we bemoan the fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore. That's why, what do we say after Sfira every single time we count? We return back to Beis HaMikdash. So it's a zecher of a Churban Beis HaMikdash. And it's based, that harachman we say, is based on the Tosus Megillah Daf Chaf Mabez, that it's a Zeichel Churban. So it says the Baal Mor, if it's Agmas Nefesh, that's the language he uses, that Sfira is Agmas Nefesh, it gives us pain to count without there being Karbanos. So how do you say Shechayanu over a Churban based on English? We don't say Shechayanu Tisha B'Av. We say Shechayanu Yom Kippur, on the Kedushas Hayom. We don't say it on Tisha B'Av, Shechayanu. Whenever there's Agmas Nefesh, we can't say Shechayanu. Another example. Does one say Shechayanu at a Bris Milah? Depends. Sfaradim do, Ashkenazim don't. So according to the reason why Ashkenazim, why do we not say Shechayanu at a Bris Milah? It's Sanhedrin, right? Tzara D'Yanuka. The Gemara says maybe there should be the, we say a benching for Sheva Brachos, we say Shia Simcha b'ma'ona, right? That's the nusach of benching for Sheva Brachos. So Gemara in Ketubos asks, should we say that by Bris Mila as well, Shia Simcha b'ma'ona? Where it says, no. Tzara d'yanuk, if the child is busy crying, went through surgery, a wonderful thing, it's a great mitzvah, he's brought into Kedushas Yisrael, but at the end of the day, it's a surgery. It's Agmas Nefesh, it's Tzara d'yanuk. We don't say Shia Chiyana Bris Mila. We don't say Shia Simcha b'ma'ona. Based on that, Rishon, so we also don't say Yerushach Yanu. So it says the Baal Mor, if there's Agmas Nefesh during Sfiras Omer, we can't say Yerushach Yanu either. It's only Midir Banan. So since it's all... Sorry. Yeah, no. No, go for it. Very excellent. So you have to be Mechalik. There's certain things that are Zeich LeMikdash and certain things that are Zeich LeChurban. Zeich LeMikdash doesn't mean we're sad necessarily. Sometimes it could be just to remind us what used to have been done in the base of Mikdash, but not that we're sad. It's not a type of mourning. We don't mourn on Yom Tov. If it was Zeich LeChurban, we couldn't do it. So Zeich LeChurban would be, under the chuppah, ashes on the head would be Zeich LeChurban. That's a sad thing. But then there's a Zeich LeMikdash. We just try to emulate, replicate what was done in a happy way, not necessarily. So that's by the lulav is zecher l'mikdash, not zecher l'churban. That's the distinction.
Sphere also, though, it's not a zecher. It's in order to. We're just saying that this used to be deraisa.
Right. So that's what some Rishon would say. That some actually say it would be. No, zecher l'mikdash. It's a mitzvah and it should be happy.
Yeah.
But the Baal Mor and the Tosas, they both felt it was actually zecher l'churban, which is why we say the harachaman. And that's why he felt you shouldn't say Shechianu. But it's a machlokas. Either it's a deraisa, or it's a derabanan. But that derabanan can either be Zeichel Mikdash or Zeichel Churban. So he's classifying it as Zeichel Churban. Either way, the Baal Mor concludes that since the mitzvah of Sfir is only a derabanan, is manazeh, since this is only a derabanan, it's only a Zeichel Ba'alma, it's just a Zeicher, you don't need to be so machbid on counting two counts. If it's a deraisa and a real serious thing, okay, you start doing two things. But it's only a Zeicher Ba'alma. So it's enough to just one count, and then that will suffice. His second answer, what Baal Mor suggests, is what's going to happen is, if you're keeping two counts, so now, Shavuos is after you finish the 49 counts. You don't count on Shavuos. Shavuos is the 50th day, we don't count the 50th day. So what happens is, Leil Shavuos, the first night.
You still have one thing left.
Right, I'm saying Kiddush. Before Kiddush, let me say, tonight's the 49th night. I'm keeping Shavuos, it's a stira. So it's going to be a zilzil to the Yom Tov, and therefore, for that reason, excellent, that reason, the Baal Mor says we shouldn't count. So those are two different reasons.
It's the same thing for the first night of Pesach.
So they asked the question, very good. They asked the question, I didn't get into it, but I saw the postkim do ask the question. They didn't ask about that night. They asked about Shvi Shel Pesach, the eighth day. There's going to be steers along the way that are going to impact the eighth day of Pesach. It could be the second day of Pesach will be impacted also, the fact that you're counting, right. But the second or the eighth night might be a steer, but I don't know why, I forgot, but the postman talked about this.
You're going to count sphere, it's just a matter of the day. By Shavuos, you shouldn't be counting.
Okay, could be. So maybe the eighth day, you're counting anyways. But Shavuos, you shouldn't be counting at all, and it's more of a zilzal. Okay,
the simple answer is there's no way you wouldn't know by then that everyone would have clarity about that the something would have come, wouldn't be any something with anyone.
Yeah. But that's Dama Shaila. Because for Yang Sphira, we keep 2 days of Shavuos anyways. Even though they would have reached by then anyway. So that's that has been the practice. That itself...
Counting 2 days back then would only be because you were not sure.
Correct.
So you wouldn't ever come to a situation of Shavuos where you'd be counting the second day and not knowing was it ready, which day was Shavuos. You for sure
right.
Know.
Right. No, so at that point, it's a good question. It deserves a different discussion why we keep 2 days of Shavuos, but not for now. I didn't look into it. But it's a good question. Stan, nothing to do with Sfiras Omer, though.
But you would be counting at that point. You wouldn't be counting the second day of Suffolk because you would know 1,000%, which day you wouldn't even be...
No, but at some point, the day 20, you should stop counting. Right, but once you start the count, though, you should continue the count. Okay. So again, whatever answer is going to be given why we keep 2 days of Shavuos, even though by then you would know, would hopefully answer this as well. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Exactly.
You don't know necessarily what Vav is
right.
Going to be.
The Gemara talks about actually, there's no set day for Shavuos. It depends, as you said, the 50th day afterwards. So, depending on Mali or Chaser, sometimes the Gemara says it could be the fourth day, the fifth day, or sixth day. It could be any of those 3 days because depending what happens to Rosh Chodesh. So, and there's actually a lot of interesting things to talk about in the postgame about that Indian that Shavuos has really no set day.
It's taloi on. It's anchored by Pesach.
Exactly, and they add, use this as a dever dever musar that the, you know, Kabbalah Satara is not dependent on a day. Every day could be a day of Kabbalah Satara. There's no set zman for it. They use this. I think Magid of Ram has some idea like this as well. Either way, the last answer, we'll say, from the Tshuvas Dvar of Ram, is a different reason why you can't keep 2 days of Sfira. Because by definition, what is a Sfira? Sfira means when you count something. You count, maybe it's one, maybe it's two. That's not a count anymore. That's not a Sfira. You have to have some level of certainty in order for there to be a count. So, you know, it does come up, actually, by interesting, when it comes to women who are counting Shiva Nakiyim. So for them, sometimes they have to count two different counts. Let's say they have a Shaila, about a Kesem. They don't know if the Kesem is going to is bad or not bad. So what they can't do is they can't say that it's definitely bad. Because once they give up, they think it's no longer good, they lose the Shiva Nakiyim. Shiva Nakiyim have to be with their awareness of Kavana that they're counting 7 clean days. The moment they think they're Tamei, it ruins the count. They start over again. So what we tell the women to do, if they have a suffix, what they should do is, okay, keep in mind that you're still counting one count that is good, but in case it's not good, keep a second count. You want to do another hefsek to count another count just in case it's wrong. You have these two counts in mind. But the Dvar Ram says, by Sfiras Omer, for whatever reason, we have to have a clean count, and the clean count must be, has to be decisive, and once you start counting, maybe it's night two, maybe it's night three, that undermines the count to be considered a Sfira, and therefore we don't keep 2 days of Sfira because of that that very reason. Okay, so let's stop here. And I guess Mitzvah Hashem, Liam will give next week on whatever comes up next.